welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com. Steelers Nation, it has been a wild 15 minutes here at the All Steelers Talk podcast, but we're here. Our script has been thrown out the window twice. It's a beautiful sunny day in the city of Pittsburgh, but it's okay. Juju Smith-Schuster headed to the Kansas City Chiefs. Deshaun Watson headed to the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, they're just sitting around thinking maybe we'll build a team to stop everybody else. Eric, it's Friday. I'm feeling good. How you feeling, my friend?
Wow. What a day, man. Oh, this last hour's been crazy. Me and you had to change the complete script to the podcast 5 minutes before we hopped on.
Yeah, at least five times. I'm sweating. Like, I know you guys can't. I'm actually sweating. Deshaun Watson, I sat down, sent you the link. Deshaun Watson gets traded to the Browns. We're about 7 seconds away from hit and play. Juju Smith-Schuster announces he's going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Besides, I took a nap today. Like, we've done – nothing happened so much today that I was like, I feel comfortable enough to sleep. 7 seconds before we get going, here we are. But that's all right. Plenty to talk about. Not that we didn't have things to talk about, but more things to talk about, exciting things to talk about. We'll start with Deshaun Watson. Head to the Cleveland Browns on – we don't know what the deal is yet, but it's at least going to be 3 first-rounders sent to the Texans, probably more. At one point, they were ruled out. It was the Saints and the Atlanta Falcons that were left on the board. They make a surprise move back in here. They're also sending – are redoing his contract. It remains a 4-year deal, but I think it's $184 million. I mean, I don't even care about the money. What are your thoughts on Deshaun Watson ending up in Cleveland?
I mean, it's just like we said when, you know, we were talking about last week or whenever it was about the Steelers potentially, you know, getting Deshaun Watson, because what Sean King was saying, Deshaun Watson's an elite quarterback. So, like I said, for the Steelers, all that compensation, the first round picks that it's going to take to acquire him, it don't matter, man. Like, he's worth it. I mean, franchise quarterbacks, elite quarterbacks are worth their weight in gold. Like, it's honestly really concerning to me. I'm looking at my timeline right now, and I'm seeing a bunch of people saying that they're not concerned about Deshaun going to Cleveland, man. This isn't them trying to develop a number one pick like Tim Couch or Baker Mayfield. Deshaun's already that guy. I mean, they're bringing in an elite quarterback. Like, Deshaun's not going to forget how to play football in the next 20 minutes, bro. Like, they're not having to develop him. He's already a star in this league. The off-the-field stuff's concerning. I mean, I'm happy that we ain't got to deal with that. But, I mean, stopping him on the field, I mean, that's going to be difficult, man. If you don't believe that, I mean, you need to come to grips with that right now.
How close is the AFC North now? Because, like, 25 minutes ago it was the AFC West is probably one of the greatest quarterback divisions of all time. And 15 minutes before we hit play here, the AFC North has now taken that over with Ben Roethlisberger retiring, which, shout out to Big Ben, because he knew just when to walk away. He did not want to play a season in this division. And Mitchell Trubisky's walking in here at what might be the worst time ever. But the AFC North, how close to the AFC West? You putting them pretty close?
I give the West an edge just because I think
– oh, yeah.
Like, when you go top to bottom, I mean – you know, Russ, a potential Hall of Famer, Mahomes, who I think is the best player in football right now. And then Herbert, you know, a rising young star. He's probably pretty comparable to Burrow. It's probably a pick 'em between who you ask. But I like, obviously, Lamar, former MVP. Burrow just took his team to a Super Bowl.
Mitchell Trubisky won a couple of playoff. Took his team to the playoffs twice.
Yeah, probably the difference is, like, Derek Carr's a lot better than Trubisky is, but so that's probably the difference between the two divisions. But yeah, I mean, this is a tough AFC North, man. I mean, you're gonna have to get ready for the grind over the next couple of years, and like, not just it's one thing for the AFC West because, you know, Carr's a little older. I mean, he's like over 30, and you know, they acquired Russell Wilson, who's he's like 32, 33, I think. So, like, Russell says he wants to play 10 more years, whatever. But you may have to deal with Russ for the next, you know, 7-8 years. But, like, Lamar and Burrow and Deshaun.
They're young.
I mean, they're all young, man. Like, guys that really, like, I don't even know if we've really seen their prime yet. So, yeah, I mean, you better buckle up, man. It's going to be some tough sledding, I think.
let's talk real quick about how dumb we all look. Because 24 hours ago, every single one of us watching this podcast and talking on this podcast, we're talking about how the Browns is the Browns. And they're always going to be the Browns. Like the AFC North, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who don't even really have a quarterback right now, looked so good in comparison to a team who just lost Deshaun Watson and pretty much lost Baker Mayfield in that process. And now, boom, they come right back in it. Kevin Stefanski says, ha, 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 I told you. And here we are, Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I have so many questions that come with this. I think the big one, though, and this popped in my head yesterday or a couple days ago when they entered the race. Terrell Edmunds, I think, was a guy that was real high to return to the Steelers super early in free agency. I don't know where people sit on that now. You have a guy like Deshaun Watson added to the mix of Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. Do you need a better safety next to Minka Fitzpatrick, or is Terrell Edmunds just good enough?
I mean, I think you need to explore bringing Evans back. Do I think – I mean, I know, like, Honey Badger's been the talk of, you know, Steelers Nation over the past couple of days. And I love Tyron. He's one of my favorite college players of all time. Like, he's still that guy. He's still got some tread left on the tires. But I just think the price point between a guy like him and Edmonds is probably going to be significant enough to make you a little uneasy about it. And just the Steelers, like when you look at the guys that they've signed in the offseason, I do think the Steelers have done a solid job in free agency so far. But you look at all these guys, Levi Wallace, Mason Cole, James Daniels, Mitch Trubisky, all these guys are 20, 26, 27 years old. So, like, Honey Badger's, you know, he's about to be 30, I believe, coming NFL season. So the timeline is a little off. And I think my favorite thing about what the Steelers have done so far, and we'll talk a little bit later about the free agent signings, is like I think they've gotten guys that, A, they can get out of their contracts if the first year, like, they don't prove themselves. Like, Miles Jack doesn't bounce back from his awful season last year or something like that. You don't have a bunch in sunk costs, but all of these guys are young enough to where – 2 or 3 years down the line, they're still going to be, you know, hitting their prime or still in their prime. So, like, if the Steelers can get a quarterback and get their roster rebuilt up in the next 2-3 years, they can help you in that championship window, you know, hypothetically, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was my big thing with that is if you're going to pay a guy like Matthew $14 million a year, you want him to be in that Super Bowl window, and I don't know if he's going to be in this. Yeah, yeah, that's a big question. At the same time, though, you're Mike Tomlin. You just called Miles Jack on Tuesday, and you said, dude, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. We need you to come here. The goal is still a Super Bowl. Even if Mitchell Trubisky's leading the train, the goal is still a Super Bowl. How pressing is that? That's my thing is how if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you're looking at the AFC North now and you're going, there's 6 games we have to play this season against top-tier quarterbacks, one who's coming back. Like, you can say whatever you want about Deshaun Watson. The dude's coming back from a year where he missed every single game because everyone hated him. The chip on that dude's shoulder is going to be ridiculous. So that's going to be a whole other level of Deshaun Watson. Amari Cooper's a huge upgrade to that receiving core. I don't know. It's tough to say don't go make one more splash in the secondary just to try to help that. But at the same time, you could say that about pretty much every spot on the defense. Like, if they went out and grabbed Melvin Ingram again and said, hey, man, you're just going to come play pretty much every down. I don't care if you want to be here or not. We need as much help as possible. It would make sense, you know? Like, that's just it's now all alarms off.
Yeah, I mean, the division got better. So, I mean, that's the thing. You have to upgrade the team however you possibly can. I don't know if, you know, Tyron's one of the big splashier names out there. But I know people have thrown around like possibly Bobby Wagner. That kind of went out the door once they signed Miles Jack. I'm not really sure he's a schematic fit anyway. But there's also a guy out there like maybe Teron Armstead. Like if you're wanting to make a splash, you know, I think Teron is probably like maybe one of the most talented players in this free agency class to begin with. An elite pass protecting left tackle. You know, not saying, you know, Dan Moore held his own and he improved over the season, but, you know, maybe that's a splash that, you know, that you can talk yourself into. But I think the Steelers are pretty much going to continue doing what they're doing and adding some of these mid-tier free agents that they can, you know, build with guys that are younger, and they can keep them in that window, hopefully, if they're able to keep up their level of play.
Rob, we'll answer this real quick. What are your thoughts on this one? Little Rasul Douglas.
I thought about that last night, actually. Rasul Douglas had like a career year in Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Last season. Green Bay just, you know, got rid of Davante Adams and what they were going to have to pay him on that franchise tag or, you know, the long-term money. I'm not sure where they sit cap-wise, but I know a lot of the really good Green Bay follows that I interact with quite often really want him back. It was him and Devondre Campbell was the other guy that they really wanted back on that defense. I think Green Bay wants to maybe get away from how top-heavy their roster has been at times, you know, with Rodgers and Adams. They want to kind of keep some of these other pieces that have came in and, you know, really contributed. So I think Douglas makes sense back to Green Bay, but he's a good corner. I just don't know if is Douglas enough of an upgrade or an upgrade at all over like Wallace or Akello? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think they have I think the Steelers have enough with Witherspoon, Sutton, and Wallace. I think they have enough solid players, like depth guys, complementary pieces, if you will. I think they need that actual cornerback one. That's what what the secondary is really missing, along with, you know, starting strong safety.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even if you get like somebody that could develop into a cornerback one, like in the second or third round, that you feel pretty strongly about.
Andrew Booth.
Yeah, obviously Andrew Booth is the top choice there. All Steelers talk endorsement, Andrew Booth. We should send him hats. I think that if you find somebody like that, it still works out so well. I don't think that adding another cornerback, safety would be the only thing in the secondary that I would think like maybe they're thinking now is a little bit more pressing and needed a little bit more of an upgrade than just bringing Terrell Edmunds back. But again, I don't know. Before we move on from the Deshaun Watson news, I'm kind of glad we didn't have to spend 45 minutes on this because it's over, man. It's over, but it's never over. What are the chances? What are the odds? What are your odds that the Pittsburgh Steelers sadly find themselves at the bottom of the AFC North this season?
I'd feel better answering that question once we see the draft. But here's the thing with Steelers fans. I just want people to be realistic. I think the Steelers, even before today, Watson has nothing to do with this. The Steelers are going to be aggressive in finding their next franchise quarterback. And what that means is I think the Steelers are going to be aggressive and going to get Malik Willis. I 100% think they're going to. I think that's what this free agency is about, acquiring, you know, their normal complementary pieces through free agency, filling some needs so they have that flexibility to go get a guy if they really like him. And I think they love Malik Willis. But here's the deal. Malik's not really going to help you this year, man, because he's not ready. He's just not ready.
No, but do you even care about that? The Steelers signed a team that's built for – the next 3 years, not for right now.
That's what I'm saying. If you want me to give you like a little positive spin on how this can all work out, look, if you let Malik sit for a little bit and you can fix some of his mechanical issues, and if he can develop as a passer, maybe you get him a couple starts toward the end of the season just to get him some live game reps. If you've got the right pieces in the building, and I'm not sure that they do, I'm just saying if you do, this kid has all the tools in the world to be able to compete with guys like Lamar, Burrow, Deshaun Watson. This kid's talented, man. It's just he's not ready this year. So if you do have to make a move for him, you're betting on the ceiling because the floor could be really bad. I'm just telling you. I mean, like,
I was gonna say,
Malik had some bad games last year in college against some bad defenses. But having said that, you're betting on traits. And if you're able to develop those traits, you could have your franchise quarterback like as early as, you know, 2 years from now.
But we keep talking about the floor ceiling. Like, what's your confidence level that he won't hit that floor? Like, this draft is so stacked that if you're going to make a move for Malik Willis, like, you have to feel so confident that he has strong potential to turn out well. Because if you don't, you're taking a risk and missing so much here.
I'll say it again, though. If it was up to me, I think I would probably pass on the quarterback class altogether because Willis, to me, is the only guy that has that top eight potential. But when you're looking at quarterbacks and really like all the important positions, man, you got to bet on traits. The kid's got an electric arm. The ball just pops off his hand and he can run around. He's really mobile. You know, he can make plays with his legs. All the athletic tools you could want are there. It's just he's got to learn how to read defenses, become a little more accurate. You know, some lower body mechanics are a little bit of a mess. He needs to stay better connected. But I mean, again, he's a good player, man. He could potentially be a great one. As far as like the floor, though, I mean, the floor for Malik is backup quarterback. I mean, he might – I mean, there's no guarantee he's going to be a starter because he's very inaccurate. A lot of those issues stem from his mechanics. And he's just a very slow processor right now. And that's obviously concerning, and that's why you don't want him on the field as a rookie. He doesn't know – like, he does not know how to read defenses right now. He doesn't understand leverage or route concepts. He just doesn't. He needs some seasoning.
That seasoning could be very difficult with Mitchell Trubisky and Mason Rudolph trying to teach him, and Dwayne Haskins. Like,
you're not
banking heavy on Mike Sullivan.
That's the point. I'm not worried about the guys in front of him because he will take some stuff from Mitch, who by all accounts is a great teammate, by the way. That's the number one thing. By asking people, you know, that cover the Bears and then ask, like, just looking up stuff, like, Mitch is a great teammate, which is awesome if you're going to draft a rookie quarterback. But really with him, it's going to be the coaching staff. I mean, everyone loves to bring up the example of Josh Allen. I'm not saying, you know, Malik can beat Josh Allen. I'm just saying, you look at what Buffalo did for him, coming out really raw, needing a lot of seasoning, very inaccurate, all that stuff. They gave him Brian Daboll, Ken Dorsey. I mean, some of the best, you know, offensive minds. I mean, look at the progress they were able to make with Josh in just a couple of years. I mean, organizational stability, we think that's going to be there. I mean, you have Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the best orgs in the entire sport. So you're going to have that aspect of it. It's just, do you have the right guys to nurture and develop him? And Matt Canada and Mike
Sullivan. I was going to say, that's not like an easy yes.
That question. But that's, I think that is super important, man. It's never just about the player. When players fail, it's not because they weren't good enough. It's not always because they were the wrong pick. A lot of the times, man, it's the support system. It's the coach. Yeah.
Well, the Steelers' offensive coordinator is terrible. So that's alarming. But just like you said, I'll leave everybody else up to answer that question, because I've given my thoughts on Matt Canada a million times. Can he develop a quarterback? I don't know. He developed a couple of them in college. They look pretty good. Before we talk about Juju Smith-Schuster, this one came up yesterday. Cordell Patterson. He's going to turn, I think, 30 by the beginning of the season. Plays running back and wide receiver, was a stud last year. We all know that. Does he fit in Pittsburgh? Is he even an option? Somebody you think about?
I still think he's going to get a little payday that's going to be a little higher than maybe the Steelers are willing to go. But, you know, it is kind of interesting. I mean, the Steelers obviously need a running back too. They need a kick returner now. They need a punt returner. So they also don't have a slot receiver. And, like, Cordell could do some of those things too. It's intriguing to me, but I don't know if it's realistic. But I do see the intrigue. I wonder about the money, because I do think, you know, coming off – you know, a career best season. He's a little older now. He hasn't ever been paid. Normally when guys have a career year in their late 20s or early 30s, they do want to get paid pretty well, because they probably haven't been paid before. And that's the only thing with Patterson I wonder about. But, like, good player though. I mean, I like Patterson coming out of the draft. I was, you know, a little bit disappointed that he just never really developed into more of a receiver. But, hey, it's a good player.
I do like Patterson. I don't like him in Pittsburgh. I do like him in Pittsburgh. I like his versatility. I just think there's a lot of other options, you know? I also think there's options in Pittsburgh. Like, Anthony Miller, I think, is going to have somewhat of a role this season. And I'm a little excited to see what that role is, because they don't have wide receivers right now. I think they'll obviously add somebody probably in the draft. And we're going to talk about the pro days later on. But I don't know. Just, like, the payday is a good point. I just don't think that an older guy right now meshes with what's going on. One more here. Jabril Peppers over Edmonds. I guess because of his return ability. I didn't even know Jabril Peppers returned punts. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned Peppers as like a potential fallback option. He's coming off an ACL, so that's the big thing. That was the thing with Jameis too, that I kind of – like, those two were guys that I thought they may have interest in, but you just never know. Like, guys coming off an ACL – you don't know how they're going to react. I mean, look at Zach Banner and Devin Bush last year. I mean, they were in the facility, you know. Bush was ahead of, you know, schedule, and then had an atrocious year where he just didn't look anything even close to what he was the year before. So that's the medicals. I don't know when Peppers is going to sign. I mean, he may need to get a little more healthy before he even feels comfortable signing anywhere. But if, like, say Edmonds gets a deal from somebody, which at this point in free agency would kind of surprise me, but say he gets a offer from somebody for like 3 years, like $7 million or something, or like 3 years, $20 million total, like seven per year. Maybe he's a little cheaper fallback option to where you feel comfortable. Like, hey, if we're convinced he's going to be ready opening day, we can sign him for cheap. And then we just know we're going to draft a safety, you know, in the first 3-4 rounds.
That would be my thing.
The returnability is nice, though. I mean, obviously, like we just mentioned, losing Ray-Ray McCloud yesterday to San Francisco. I mean, they're going to need a returner. Ideally, you'd like to have some stability there. I don't place a ton of emphasis, though, to really take it into consideration necessarily against him versus Edmonds. I think Edmonds is a better player, but he just might price himself out.
Pittsburgh could price himself out. I think Peppers is a guy that could slide in here, just like you said, Edmonds. Like, it would surprise me if Edmonds signs anytime soon, but it would also surprise me if Pepper signs anytime soon, which leaves kind of the perfect opportunity for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I do expect them to draft someone, and that possibly could be a little higher than we think. You're on this Malik Willis thing. I hope that's not the Steelers' case, and I hope that they grab some defender that has huge upside in this draft. Like, that's my prey.
I'm just saying, I know, listen, I've talked for 3 months saying I'm tired of talking about these quarterbacks, the quarterback class. I just have this feeling, man. I know the Steelers love Malik, and I think they're going to try to go get him if the opportunity presents itself. But here's the deal. There is talk now, you know, all the signs are pointing to Aiden Hutchinson going number one overall, which that Steelers fans probably never really put two and two together that this would matter. But Detroit, as a fallback option, the best players in this draft class are offensive tackles, okay? So Cross, Neal, Aquanu, whoever you have in those three is not the best tackle. They don't need a tackle, though. They have Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell. So those are off the board. They have not been linked at all to Kayvon Thibodeau. If you listen to, like, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, like, they don't seem to, like, think – the things that they're saying don't match Thibodeau to me. So then, like, who's the player? Like, I mean, you're talking about, you know, Jermaine Johnson. Like, I don't know who the player is that they could be targeting at two. And it's easy to say, well, they'll just trade back. Like, you have to have somebody willing to come up. Like, you know, the Jets, like, they're sitting at four. Would they be wanting to go up to two? Like, the Jets are going to get a tackle at four.
That's what I'm saying. They have no need to go to two.
Guaranteed. They have no need. So could they just take Malik Willis at two is what I'm saying. And then, you know, if they take Malik Willis at two, then the Steelers, you know, are better off. I mean, they're probably better off anyway, but then the Steelers probably plan would then shift to, well, we don't even have a choice. Like, there's no choice to go up and get a quarterback. We'll just sit at 20 and take, you know, best defender available or whatever.
Okay, so that's the new hope. The new hope is that Detroit Steelers fans, we're pushing Detroit Lions taking Malik Willis hard.
I heard this. I heard this at the combine from multiple people. That, you know, because I would be talking to people down there and I would be talking about Malik Willis and how I think the Steelers love Malik Willis. It's a very not very well kept secret that the Steelers do love Willis. Everybody knows it by now. But down in Indianapolis, there was also a lot of smoke coming out saying that Detroit also loved Malik. And then now I've been listening to different podcasts from like bigger media and stuff like that, like the NFL Stock Exchange. They've started talking about that too. So, like, I really think there's some smoke there. Detroit also has the 32nd pick. So, could they vault up in front of Pittsburgh at 20 to take Malik? That's also a possibility. But that's why I think if Willis gets to 11, Washington, because Washington's not going to take a quarterback now with Wentz, I think that's the trigger point. Like, back when they traded up for Bush, I said, you know, Denver's the trigger point. If Bush gets to 10, I think they go up. Or there's a possibility they could. I think 11's that point for Malik. I think if he gets there, they're going to be aggressively calling them, maybe the Chargers at 17, to try to get up and get him.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think there's going to have more clarity, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, right now, the Lions, I don't think, will be in the mix, but there will be other teams. Like, Carolina's probably going to be pushing for one of these quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield is now on the board, you know, and he's very much so on the board. He's still on a rookie deal. I get it's the number one overall pick deal, but it's still a rookie deal. Look, you're going to put a chance on him. Somebody's going to.
We'll know for sure. We'll know for sure next week.
That's what I'm saying.
Willis' pro day is on Thursday morning. If Tomlin and Colbert are there, that tells you all you need to know, which I anticipate them being there.
If they're in Cincinnati's, we have a whole
A whole different problem.
We have a lot more to talk about if they're in Cincinnati. All right, let's talk about Juju Smith-Schuster. Headed to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm excited for him. I think it's a good deal. Quick question, though. The contract details, you knew it is 10-point-some million, right?
1 year, $10.75 million. I don't know if that's up to or if that's the base, but that was what was tweeted out before we right before we jumped on.
So not a bad deal for Juju. I think that coming into free agency, he expected a lot more, but I felt bad as the reports were coming out that he wasn't getting any attention. I've heard personally a couple of times that nobody was making phone calls to Juju. I'm sure the Chiefs did a couple of times, but maybe nothing stuck. I'm glad that he got a deal done. The dude's going to tear it up in Kansas City, though. Let's be honest. People are sleeping on Juju's ability, and Juju's ability with Patrick Mahomes, I mean, that's like basically another Travis Kelce right there in the middle.
Yeah, I think Juju's a perfect fit in Kansas City. I love it. Because here's the deal. So Mahomes, they face a lot of too high looks. And, you know, they took away, like, the deep bombs from him, and it really frustrated him at the beginning of last season. But when Kansas City started to turn it around, it's because Travis Kelce started playing better. And he looked a little more, like, young midway through the season. But Kelsey's a little older now. I mean, he's, like, 32 years old. So they need that other player that can win over the middle and underneath. That's what Juju does. Like, he can win up the seam. He can win over the middle. So, like, those two high defenses, you've still got Tyreek to get deep and to do the things that he's done. But, like, I think Juju's a perfect fit. He's going to blow it up with Mahomes, man. The only thing with Juju that even remotely concerns me, I know everybody just complains, not a number one receiver. Who cares? He's a really good receiver in the slot. The only thing that really concerns me with Juju is his health. He's just battled constant injuries the last three seasons. Whether he misses games or not, he's always on the injury report. If his body holds up, he's going to have a monster year. And good for him. Juju's a great dude. People running him out of Pittsburgh, I think that's a shame. Great dude, really good player. I like Juju a lot. Best of luck to him in Kansas City.
Yeah, no doubt. And I love the way that he went out, thanked everybody. I felt that was really good because Juju's the type of dude. We both said it, though, before we jumped on here. Super surprising that he was able to leak his own news because – knowing Juju Smith-Schuster, he had 400 people constantly texting him every single day. And the fact that he was just like, "Nah, I'm going to stay chilling with this one." Huge. All right, this is breaking news. We just talked about punt and kick returner. Steelers just signed. That's not how you spell his last name, but that's okay. Steelers did just sign Gunnar Olszewski from New England. Kick and punt returner, 25 years old. I mean, last year he had 309 kick or punt return yards. 416 kick return yards. The year before that, pretty much the same numbers. Plus, he had a punt return for a touchdown. He's only three seasons deep. Made a first team All Pro in 2020. I believe it's a 2 year deal, $4.2 million.
What was it? 2 years and what?
2 years, $4.2 million. Okay. I don't know what position he plays normally. Wide receiver, I guess.
Yeah, he's a receiver, but like he doesn't play on offense.
Yeah, so he's just. Do you know anything about him? Do you know who this guy is?
I know he's a special teams guy. That's pretty much it. I mean, I've seen him return punts and I've seen him return punts before, but I'm not really all that familiar with him. Like I said, the first team All Pro. That's a good look. You know, we talked Ray Ray signing in San Francisco. I'm interested to see those details because when it said 2 years up to $10.25 million or whatever.
That was Ray Ray's deal. I thought it was.
That made me jump a little bit. But you got to be careful, though, this time of year because agents will leak, you know, up to, you know, it could just be like a 2 year, you know, $6 million deal with $4 million in incentives that he's never going to hit. Cody White's better.
Cody White's my dude, bro. Cody White's going to get an opportunity this year. I was just telling Derek before we jumped on here that I don't know why somehow I've developed where in the middle of the night I get sources that call me. And they're always talking about Cody White, always. And I, for a long time, I was just like, why do I care about Cody White? And then they were always right. And I was just like, well, apparently these people know what's up with Cody White. So that's pretty cool. And I heard something at the NFL Combine that Cody White's going to get an opportunity this year. I didn't want to say it out loud, but here we are.
No, you just did.
I just did. I do like the Gunner move. I don't know anything about him just like you, but I like that he's not a true receiver. Get out of the hole. Let's play two positions and just get a return man that's really good. Like it for the Steelers. I like it for Danny Smith. I think Mike Tomlin with Ray Ray kind of was just like, okay, well, We saw what happens when we actually have a return man who's pretty good at what he does. I do like the move. And it leaves a spot open because they're still going to get a wide receiver. Cody White sleeper. I love it. He does catch every football. It has no after the catch ability, but does catch every single football. All right. Don't see any big questions up here. Daxton Hill at 20. You've talked about that before.
Give me.
Trade back. Do you think that they're trade back? And here's the other thing. So let's talk about that because we're going to talk about pro days at the end here, but we can talk about it now. George Pickens and Justin Ross caught a lot of attention the last 2 days because Mike Tomlin does what he does every single year, and he went to Clemson, Georgia's pro day. Shocker. Next day he was at Michigan's. Shocker. Who saw that coming? Every single person out there. Do you think that it's a possibility that some of these guys are sneaking their way onto Mike Tomlin's big board here and maybe sneaking their way into the first round?
So Pickens was the guy. We talked about this in our like pre-combine show before we headed to Indianapolis. Pickens was the guy, man, I was most excited to see a test and B interview because I'd heard a lot of different things, good and bad. I was super impressed by how he conducted himself at the podium, though. I mean, this dude came off as a student of the game. I mean, he was comparing receivers and things that he likes to take from different guys. He appeared confident but not overly cocky. And, like, I came away from the podium like, man, everybody – like, there were some people that I talked to had questions about, like, maybe his maturity and how he was going to interview with teams. I was like, man, no. If he does that in front of the NFL guys, they're going to love that kid. And he goes out, he runs the good 40. I think it was, like, 4.47. Or I'd have to look it up what he ran.
Yeah, it was.
It was a good 40. I literally said if he runs anything below, like, a 4.53, great for him. And then, you know, Tomlin was keeping a close eye on him at the pro day. He is a sleeper at 20. I hate this because on Twitter, you know, I have 5 billion people telling me every player that I talk about is not going to be there at 20 or 52. I hate saying this, but, like, he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there at 52. So if they
want him. Oh, I thought you were going to say 20. I was like, no. Yes, he is.
If they want him, they're going to have to go get him. The thing with Pickens, and I'll talk a little bit about Justin Ross too, but the thing with Pickens that I love is, like, he can play the X and the Z. He can even play a little bit in the slot. I mean, this kid has alpha receiver ceiling. Like, he's very, very talented. You look at what he did as a freshman at Georgia. I mean, again, in the SEC, like Derek Stingley and George Pickens, they both had the injury concerns. But, like, those guys, when you dominate and you're great in that conference at 18 years old, people don't understand how crazy that is. I mean, it's unreal. And George is a really talented player, man. I think he's got a lot of nuance to his game too. And he's so refined already. You're not going to have a work in progress with him. Ross is another guy. He had a really good freshman year before he had the neck injury. To me, he hasn't looked like the same player since then, but he's a good possession receiver. Who can get off press. He's really smooth, not a great athlete, but, like, somebody that I think is going to go, like, late third round, early day three. If the Steelers, you know, say the board falls perfectly and they opt to go elsewhere early in the draft, he's a good fallback option for them, in my opinion.
So this is twice now that Sky Moore has been dropped in our chat today. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to know that Derek was the first person to ever bring Sky Moore up in the Pittsburgh Steelers conversation long, long, long time ago. He has not backed down. It's good that he's getting attention. But like I said yesterday, we keep that a secret. We keep all that a secret because nobody knows about Sky Moore. And he's chilling and he's staying chilling. And when he ends up in the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're going to be happy. And everything's going to be fine. But no need to be shouting it to the roofs and letting every other NFL team know that Sky Moore is ridiculous.
Hey, whoever mentioned that Sky Moore comp, go to RAS football and look up Sky Moore's RAS and then compare it to Steve Smith's. It's the exact same. Just like that.
Exactly.
I saw that the other day on the website. I was looking at the different cards. You know, Moore didn't test like extremely well. He ran fast, but, you know, the other testing wasn't great. But I mean, I really wasn't expecting him to be a great athlete. I thought he was going to be a solid athlete, but that's really not what the Steelers really care about at the receiver position. Can you get open? Can you separate? Moore yep. does that. So great after the catch too. So he's obviously on the very short list. I mean, the receivers that they've shown the most interest in so far, guys like, you know, George Pickens, Justin Ross, Sky Moore, they're all a little bit different, but I do like all those guys to various different degrees and different roles.
What do you have to say to the people that I've seen a lot recently of people saying that Pickens and Justin Ross kind of have Chase Claypool traits where they aren't good at back shoulder catches and they aren't good at being physical in the air? Do you agree with that?
I don't know if I've not watched the film. My guy Tyler Weiss tweeted that out. I don't know if it's Chase Claypool traits. I think it's what Claypool doesn't do right, like doesn't do well. Yeah. So you look at, you know, the back shoulder. I'll tweet this clip out after we get off of here, just so everybody can see it. I'll retweet it. But Pickens has some nasty back shoulders, man. Just the body control for him in the air is a 180 from what it is with Claypool. Now, he doesn't have the straight line speed that Chase does, but as far as like body control and the late hands, I mean, dude, it's awesome.
Chase Claypool's straight line speed means nothing when you fall. Time you touch the ball.
Ross is a little bit different. He does have some back shoulder ability as well. If you can't tell by how I'm talking about him, I love Pickens, man. I just absolutely love his game. I think he's an awesome fit for Pittsburgh. This is a great receiver class. So to where I've said it a million times, it's really just a flavor thing. Whatever you want, you know, you can get it in this draft. And I'm super excited about that for Pittsburgh because they're going to take a receiver before day two's over.
Yeah, and they're probably going to take Malik Willis in the first round. Thanks, appreciate you. Having a fun time here, Derek. Having a fun time here. All right, let's talk about some acquisitions that the Steelers made. Acquisitions that the Steelers made. I had that word right. That have left some question marks here. Let's start with the offensive line. James Daniels and Mason Cole, both of which. So yesterday I had the fun task of covering Pitt spring ball and Pittsburgh Steelers welcome press conferences. It was a fun, enjoyable day for me, let me tell you. But by the end of it, by the time Mason Cole and James Daniels were talking, my brain didn't want to process names anymore. So every time that they would come up on the screen and I was ready to ask my question, I would blank on their name. And like it wasn't like, there are names here. It's just like there are nothing in my head, like nothing at all. So I'd just look at them for a couple seconds and then start talking. The last 24 hours, I have said both of their names at least 100 times just walking through my apartment. James Daniels, Mason Cole, both centers, both guards, drafted as centers, I believe they both were, and then moved to guard, both within like the last season and a half. James Daniels played pretty much everywhere. When it comes to both of those, what are your expectations on their role in the line? Because it feels at this point that Kendrick Green's getting moved, right?
Yeah. I think one of them is going to play center. I wasn't sure what they were going to do with Green, and I'm still not. And even Daniels, I think, said it in his press conference that he's not really sure where he's going to play just yet.
Yeah, both of them said it.
Yeah, both of them said that. I know Cole said that he's more comfortable at center, which I get that too. It's going to be really interesting to see how they shake that out. I really like Daniels Tate though. I think Daniels is a really good player. Super young too. So, I mean, I don't know that we've seen the best of him as well. As in Mason Cole, I watched two games yesterday. I was kind of tweeting with Nick a little bit about this, or DMing about Nick. I wasn't extremely impressed, but like he's solid to where I do think it maybe was a little bit more money than I would have anticipated him getting had I had more exposure to him before getting signed. One thing that's kind of cool about Cole is really tall for a center, complete 180 from Kendrick. He's like 6'5". And also like something that I remember about Cole when he was coming out of Michigan is he actually played left tackle for them for a little bit. Like he played left tackle and center. You don't see a lot of guys have the movement skills to play both of those positions. And then he's played guard in the NFL too. So, I mean, he's played all over the place. And I think for the price point may be a little pricey for even if he does become a backup lineman as early as next year or the year after. It's a little pricey, but I think having a guy who in college and in the pros has played everywhere is valuable. I mean, I do think it's valuable. So yeah, but James Daniels, I think it's a really good signing, man. I really do.
I like both of the signings, even if Mason Cole, like, I think people were somewhat underwhelmed with Cole, but I can see him. He's like a very big upgraded BJ Finney at worst, you know, like he's got starter potential and he could be a swing guard and play anywhere with comfortability. I can't get words out right now. But where do you, like, when it shakes out? Because that's my thing right now is like James Daniels is a piece that you're building on for the future. Mason Cole's only 25 years old, though. And then you have Kendrick Green and Kevin Dotson definitely still in the mix. If I had to pick the offensive line, it would be Cole at center, James Daniels at right guard, and then Dotson and Kendrick Green competing for left guard. But I don't know if I'm alone on that one. How do you think those shake out?
Yeah, so it's tough. I had the very big pleasure of meeting Brandon Thorne when I was at the combine. I told you about that conversation for like 20 minutes. I loved that. I felt like I was a lot smarter when I walked away, but he made a good point about this. The Steelers have a lot of just mismatched pieces. I think he tweeted this out, you know, Daniels, his best tape's been at center. Dotson's best tape has been at right guard, but there's a good chance that those guys aren't going to play there next year for the Steelers. So I know with like Madden and just like a lot of fans think that, you know, you can just put guys wherever you want and just left and right and slide them all over the place and it's not going to make that big of a difference. It does, man. I mean, like, for example, like if you play basketball for it, like go outside and try shooting like a three-pointer with your left hand if you're right-handed. Don't you know, like whatever you normally do with your right hand, like throughout the day, do it left-handed and just see like how weird that feels. Cause that's everything when you're an offensive lineman and you're getting moved to the other side is completely different. So there is an adjustment period. That's why I'm curious on how that's going to play out. And then Kevin Dotson's a wild card. Like Kevin Dotson the Steelers weren't very happy with him when he came into camp last year. There was some rumblings that like, you know, he just wasn't ready. For various reasons. And, you know, do they view him as a starter? Do they view Kendrick as a guard? Do they view Kendrick as a center? Is Cole the utility man? I don't know how it's going to shake out. I think their best five on paper looks like some version of Moore, Cole, Daniels, Dotson, and Chooks. I think that's their best version on paper right now. But that does mean they're giving up on Kendrick Green.
Do you have Chooks on the left side?
No, so that was – so okay, so left to right, so Moore. And then Moore. Probably
– you're saying Cole's playing right guard.
No, or I'm left saying guard, Cole's I mean. Playing center. I think Cole's going to play center.
You're saying Daniels plays right guard – or left guard, excuse me.
Right guard, and then Dotson at left. But you could argue, again, that you should probably move Kevin back to his original side because Dotson, I believe, played right guard in college. So – they could move him there. I mean, they could put Daniels at center and put Cole at left guard. They could put Kendrick Green at left guard because that's where he played in college. So, yeah. I mean, we just don't know. But, like, you know, with Dotson, he was really, really good at right guard in limited reps on a bad offensive line 2 years ago. And then he comes back last season, and, man, he was brutal the first month. I mean, they all were, really. I mean, other than aside from maybe – I mean, even Chooks got off to a slow start. I mean, the offensive line was terrible all year, but really bad in the first month. Yeah. Dotson had like two good games in a row right before he got hurt, and then he was out for the season. So it was just – I still think he can be a quality player. I just don't know. I don't know if the Steelers – I don't know what they think of him, to be honest.
I think that's the big question is I don't think – I think that's why they made so many moves early because I think that they still add somebody in the draft too. I don't think that's out of question.
But I still think they could take a guard in round one.
I do think they could take a guard in round one. Yeah. Like, I really – if Kenyon Green's sitting there, I think that the Mike Tomlin's like, all right, yeah, we're going to do that.
And or Zion Johnson.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have options. Like, and then they just have options. Like, who cares? Mike Tomlin said it a million times. If you have guys just sitting around, it's better than not having anybody at all. I could see Dotson – that's what I said. Like, I tweeted this out the other day. And people, like, gave me a lot for it. They were like, why would Dotson be in question? I was like, because Kendrick Green had one bad season where he moved positions and was a third-round pick. So you don't come into the NFL as a third-round pick expecting to be a day-one starter, and you certainly don't come into the NFL as a third-round pick expecting to be a day-one starter in a new position that you've played one game in. Like, that's not – that's not an equation for success. And I think that the Steelers know that he has potential at guard. Maybe he has potential at center. I don't know. But I think that they were not happy with Dotson coming into the season. I think that that was a big reason why Rashad Coward was the starter all throughout the preseason, whatever anybody wants to say. Even if it was just a kick in the butt, why did you need a kick in the butt? You know, why did you need that?
And here's the thing, like Daniels and Cole added to the mix. Like I said, I think Daniels is a good player. I think Cole is a fine player.
Yeah, he's not great.
I don't think this offensive line is good, or it might not even be average still. It's better. It's just not completely a disaster like it was last year, at least on paper. It could be. Yeah. But I think it's better than it was last year, and that's encouraging. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't look at this offensive line as a finished product because I think they still need to add a lineman at some point, you know, preferably early in the draft. You need to acquire all the young pieces that you can, because no one on that offensive line right now you look at and you say, oh, well, this dude's got his job 100% locked up. I mean, Chooks does because of his contract, but like he's even a guy like down the road. I think you could look at Chooks' play and say like, yeah, I kind of want something better at right tackle. You know, but
oh yeah, it's a 1 year prove it deal. It's a 1 year prove it deal with backside so that you don't have to do another contract next year. That's all it is. Like if it turns into a starter, he's a pretty cheap starter, but it's a 1 year prove it deal for Chooks. I don't think, and Moore and James or Cole and James, excuse me, their contracts are the same way. It's not like, oh, we'll put a bunch of money in there. It's just like, okay, we'll see if this works out. And if it doesn't work out, whatever, like the salary cap's going to skyrocket again next year. We're not really taking a loss.
All of the Steelers deals like that, if you guys haven't looked them up on like Over the Cap, all of them are basically deals that they can get out of after year one if the player doesn't pan out, you know. And I love that. I mean, that's not different from their approach any other year. It's just I love that approach, especially for them this year, because they're not going to be contenders. And you want to see, you know, you don't want a bunch of sunk costs and guys that aren't going to be here long term. So I love the way that these deals are structured, and I think they're good gambles.
I agree. Before we head out of here, do you see we're heading into the weekend? It's Friday afternoon. The Pittsburgh Steelers love to do things like just at like the worst time, you know, like just when you're like about cozy to go on the in podcast. Bed, you got like a nice hot cocoa going on, and then it's just like boom, traded Ben Roethlisberger. You know, all the great things happen right when you're just not ready for it. Like 10 seconds before we start the show. Do you think they make any moves before Tuesday, before our next episode Tuesday?
Oh, man, before Tuesday? Yeah, I think they'll sign a safety by then.
By Tuesday? You think they sign a safety by Tuesday?
I do. Just because the market's really thinned out already. I mean, really, like the market is really Tyron and Terrell and Jabril. I mean, there's some other guys like I love and I have always loved Kareem Jackson. But like the Steelers never signed old
Kareem Jackson broke Juju Smith-Schuster in half. Yeah,
he's 34. So like, you know, the Steelers aren't even giving him the time of day. So like the safety market isn't very good right now, man. And you just know that they're not going in. Like they're not going into the draft with Trey Norwood or Miles Killebrew, whoever would be the de facto number one strong safety right now on a theoretical depth chart. They're not going in the draft like that because they don't ever do that. They're going to sign somebody, even if it's a lower cost guy, to where they don't look desperate to go get a strong safety or they don't feel desperate.
What do you think Edmonds' value is right now? What does an Edmonds contract look like?
Man, I've talked about this with so many different people over the past couple, even during the season. I have no idea what he's paying. I really don't know because he's just solid. Like he has absolutely no exciting traits where you get out of your seat and you're like, this is what this dude does extremely well. This is where he wins. He's athletic, but he doesn't really play like a freak athlete like he tested.
Yeah,
he's a really solid run defender who's a good tackler. And he has the athleticism to match up with different body types in the slot and down the field, but he just has zero ball skills. I mean, there's no flash to Edmonds' game whatsoever. He's not a hard hitter. He has no ball skills whatsoever. So I don't know what you pay a guy like that. He's just solid. And I think, you know, I would have said before the offseason, like a $5 to $6 million deal would be reasonable, but I don't know if maybe the market isn't materializing like that. But full disclosure, when they took Edmonds over Justin Reed, I lost my mind on Twitter.
We just talked about this yesterday. Donnie's blocked by Terrell Edmonds, and he actually sent me, I was going to tweet them out, and yeah. I just forgot today. He sent me what he's tweeted about Terrell Edmonds. It's bad. It's
yeah. Bad. So, like, I was so mad because it just made so much sense. But anyway, what I will say is over the last 2 years, I think Edmonds has closed that gap between him and Reed. And you look at what Reed got in Kansas City, and I'm like, man, that five or six.
What did Reed get in Kansas City?
Almost 10 mil a year, which I thought a lot for him, you know, and the difference between Edmonds and Reed's like Edmonds been surrounded by a lot better players. Reed's been playing in pretty much a dumpster fire the past 2 years.
Oh yeah.
Over there on that Texans defense. But so I don't know what you're paying, man. I really don't. Like, to me, I think that 5 million mark is the sweet spot. I'm cool if they go there like per year. I think 6, I don't feel great about, and anything more than that, I'm probably going to be like, yeah, I like this safety class a little too much to do that.
To go more than 6. I would think that my mark was like 4 million, but I thought that was a higher end deal. To be totally honest though, I thought he would have been gone by now. Like, I thought Edmonds would have been swiped up early.
Dude, safety. I say it every year, but safety's the hardest market to predict in free agency.
Yeah.
I mean, you just never know. Like, sometimes, like, the safety market more often than not just looks like the NFL doesn't value the position at all. But there's like one guy in the offseason that'll just surprise the heck out of you and sign for something like that Justin Reed deal. Like, I would have.
Yeah.
I think Reed's a good player, and I think he can be better than what he was in Houston. But like, I'm looking at it like, man, are you serious? Like, 10 million a year? Like, goodness, but. I don't know. We'll see.
Do the Steelers still have – this is a no, right? I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
He was a practice squad guy, so it's not like he would have signed a long-term deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think
– I don't believe so. I think the answer to that is no. But I agree. It's a wait-and-see type situation. Over the offseason – or over the weekend, though, that's your prediction era. I wouldn't feel bad about it. I like having Edmonds back. I think Minka Fitzpatrick's going to push heavy to go get him now that – the market has thinned.
One more thing. So I know we talked a lot about I've talked a lot about Daxton Hill since like September, but a couple other safeties that I really like, and I think the Steelers have a good chance of drafting one is the guy that I freaking love is Lewis Seen from Georgia. That dude is a hunter at safety. I mean, that dude flies down the alley, and he loves to hit. You put him on that Steelers defense, and, like, Steelers fans are going to love that kid. I mean, super athletic, too. He's a freak. And then there's guys on, like, day two. Like, I don't know if Seen could sneak into round one, but he could go round two as well. But guys a little later, like what's the safety from Penn State? His name escapes me. And then
you're the draft expert, bro.
I can't remember his name. And then also Nick Cross from Maryland. That's another guy. Like, those Maryland boys, we know Tomlin loves that. True. I think that's another name that could potentially be in play for them. I don't know where he's valued. I think somewhere on day two, like late day two, seems like kind of the mix. But he could definitely be in play there too.
That's another thing. The Steelers have an opportunity to walk into the season with a – maybe not a star-studded, but a very deep secondary, which is because Norwood's going to have pieces. Arthur Millett, people are kind of forgetting, like, Arthur Millett's there, but he's a good backup slot corner. And say what you want about the rest of them, but they're still there. Jonathan Brisker.
Yeah, that's who I literally just – I just looked him up. So I was only calling Brissett just because all the Jacoby, like, trauma that I've dealt with over the past couple weeks. No, Brisker's a really good player, though, man. Like, he's a guy who's an excellent coverage safety. I know Pro Football Focus grades don't mean anything, and I hate them, but I definitely agree. Like, they had him graded as, like, the highest graded safety in pass coverage, and I definitely saw that on tape. Tackling technique is a little shoddy. There's definitely going to be a lot of missed tackles, I feel like, on his film as a rookie, but you talk about a guy in the secondary that can match up with different body types, tight ends, slot receivers. He's a good athlete too. Again, pretty local kid too. So he's definitely an option for the Steelers.
Steelers have definitely done their homework. All right, before we head out of here, I'm just going to toss a couple of these. Steve, go back, man. We talked a lot about Juju. Shout out to Juju. We appreciate it. 10 some million dollars, 1 year deal. Should be all right. Adam, or Aiden, excuse me. My man, Aiden. Hope the jersey's treating you well, my friend. Receiver in the first round, we talked a lot about George Pickens, a little bit about Justin Ross, a little bit about a secret weapon named Sky Moore that we're not going to talk about. Go ahead.
Maybe Garrett Wilson. Maybe Garrett Wilson. Because he had a formal visit with the Steelers at the combine, which I was happy. Garrett Wilson, to me, is the best receiver in the draft. I had penciled in, I was doing a mock draft yesterday, like a little predictive mock. Wilson was my pick for Cleveland at 13, but now Cleveland doesn't have a pick. So we know Tomlin is 100% going to be at the Ohio State Pro Day, and we know that that is a prerequisite to being a first-round pick in Pittsburgh. Tomlin and Colbert have to be at your Pro Day. So I'm not saying that they'll do it. I'm just saying, like, it's not the craziest thing in the world because Wilson's definitely deserving of that 20th pick. They're going to have all the boxes checked off, super productive. You know, he's an underclassman. Tomlin and Colbert probably had his pro day. They met with him at the combine. I'm just saying. And you know who this is kind of funny. You know who Garrett Wilson's comp for me was? Santonio Holmes.
Oh.
Also
from Ohio State, also played for a team called the Pittsburgh Steelers, won a Super Bowl with them.
Yep. So I don't know. There's a little bit. You watch Garrett Wilson, there's a little Santonio there, man. So that's a good nugget to end the podcast on, I think.
The Garrett Wilson, I would love that very much. That's a perfect way to end out. Steve, don't worry, bro. We still love you. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate y'all chopping in, of course.
Yeah, facts. Appreciate y'all. Everybody enjoy your weekend. Thank you for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Like this video. We appreciate you. Use our discount code at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back next week.